Attention sports fans, your favorite sportsbook BetUS.com is back for our 29th year of football action.
With the industry's biggest sign-up bonus of up to 200%, BetUS offers our members the opportunity to cash in on all your favorite leagues, including NFL, NBA, MLB, and more. We've also got hundreds of new casino games, including the coolest slots, and our live dealers are waiting for you at the table. Sign up at BetUS.com or call 1-800-79-BETUS and get into the action. BetUS, where the game begins.
All right, we continue. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. Bob Fesco going to join us coming up in 20 minutes from now. The longtime Kansas City-based talk show host does Morning Drive, and we'll chat with him about the Kansas City, how about those Chiefs, winning another Lombardi Trophy as Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid together get Lombardi Trophy number two. A lot of fallout from the game, so let's update you on some of the biggest stories in the world of sports with some audio. We call that segment the news brief.
Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
Patrick Mahomes, after the game, after securing Lombardi Trophy number two and Super Bowl MVP number two for himself, was asked that the Chiefs are now a dynasty, courtesy of Fox.
I'm not going to say dynasty yet. We're not done. Okay. So I'm not going to say dynasty yet.
You're starting to see something that looks like a dynasty, but they're not there yet. You got to win at least three championships. But do I think that they're going to win another championship in the next few years? Yeah. They're well on their way to becoming a dynasty. Let's see when they get the next one. I think that's like the only way to kind of say it. Like, you know what you could also say on this one, Hickey? Are they a dynasty in just the AFC right now? Yeah. Because you constantly win the AFC. You're always in the AFC championship game for the last 5 years. But when you look at NFL dynasties, you got to have at least three championships. And they're almost there. But I do think you need one more in order for us to say, okay, this is a dynasty from the Kansas City Chiefs. It's going to happen. Like, if, in the next 3 years, if I ask you right now, would you be surprised if they don't win another championship in the next 3 years?
At this point, yeah. Right? There's no reason you can't say it's they're going to go in a 3 or 4 year drought with the way they're playing right now.
Because even look at the last few years. It's like, okay, they won the Super Bowl, then lost in the Super Bowl. Then they lose in the AFC title game. Then they win the Super Bowl. So even if the next 2 years, right, they lose in the AFC title game, they lose in another Super Bowl, I got to think as long as you have 15 that they're going to find a way to win another Super Bowl in the next 3 to 5 years, I would say.
Yeah, I guess you have 3 and 6, 3 and 7. I'll count that as a dynasty.
Yeah, no, that would be like 3 and 4 years dynasty, 3 and 5, 3 and 6. If you get 3 and 7, like that's probably as, or if you get 3 in a decade, you're a dynasty pretty much. Like you could also look at it every 10 years. You got to get at least 3 championships. You win 3 championships, that's to me is that bar on if you're a dynasty or not. Patrick Mahomes says nothing was keeping him from returning to the field. This is on the NFL Network.
Yeah, it's that competitor. I mean, I think everybody on this table would say it, man. That competitor in you to be in this game, it's what you work for your entire life. I knew I wasn't coming out of this game. And even with that high ankle sprain, that kind of re-aggravated a little bit, I'll worry about that in the offseason.
Now, Hickey, me being in the stadium, I saw what everyone else saw on television. I know you have a better view of it, and you have the announcers as well. But when Mahomes was so gingerly getting up, like I pointed that out to my buddy. I'm like, oh, look at Mahomes limping off the field. And he goes, oh, I didn't realize that at first. And a lot of people in the stadium didn't realize that at first because you see the play, you react to the play, and then you kind of turn around, right? People are high-fiving. People are conversing when you're in the stadium, and you don't have the ability, the reassurance of the announcers to really tell you what's going on. And this stadium, you know what they usually give you at every Super Bowl? They usually give you an earpiece. Like if you ever go to the U.S. Open and you can listen to the broadcast feed. I could not find that at the stadium yesterday. So that was a little bit annoying. But when the Mahomes, I guess you could say, re-aggravation of the injury occurred. And I know that Henny was warming up at one point. Was there ever a thought that Mahomes wasn't going to return to the game?
No, but the TV showed him a lot writhing on the pain, writhing in pain on the sideline. That was the most pain they've shown on TV of Mahomes with his ankle since he hurt it in Jacksonville.
Yeah,
like he was sitting there holding on to like the trainer, They're undoing the tape. Like, he is.
Like, there was never a thought that I had, even with seeing the injury when it happened, where I was like, oh, he's not coming back in the game.
Agreed. No one benefited more, maybe in history of the Super Bowl, of the longer halftime than Mahomes. That is for sure. He needed all 25 minutes.
And he didn't get shot up, is what he said.
That's what he claims. He looked good. Listen, maybe 25 minutes is all you need off of it, but he looked like a new man in the second half.
I will give an open invitation to Patrick Mahomes to come sit right next to us. We'll treat him to lunch. We'll hook him up to a lie detector test, and okay. I want to see if he could pass a lie detector test saying he didn't get shot up with anything during halftime.
I don't know. He claims not to what? He didn't do one against the Jaguars. He didn't take one for the bank. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. You he actually, says no.
You actually believe that, though?
I don't know, you're that naive to believe that? My only thing is, why would you lie about it? Like, it's out in the open now. Like, everyone knows about it, so it's not like if you get, like, you know, if you get a pain-numbing shot, who cares? Like, I don't know. I guess that's just me. Like, who cares? Like, I wouldn't lie about it.
Maybe he doesn't want his family knowing everything that goes on behind the scenes.
Maybe he's protecting them.
Maybe you don't want people
learning.
I have no idea.
I guess maybe I just viewed it as, I don't know why you'd lie about it when there's just so much.
Just magically.
Out in the open compared to what it used to be.
Magically, he was just able to be fine in that second half.
Well, you know.
He's grimacing in pain at time.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he looked good, as good as you can on that 26-yard run.
When's your birthday again? June, July?
June. Gotcha. June 24th.
You believe I'm also going to buy a unicorn this year for your birthday?
No. No, I do not.
Oh, okay. Just checking. Patrick Mahomes says the Chiefs' offensive line was very motivated heading into this game.
They took it a little personal, man. I mean, they had one of the greatest D-lines of all time.
Yeah.
And they have one of the greatest offensive lines of all time. And we respect that, and I give them their kudos. But we believe we have a great offensive line as well. And I think those guys got caught up with getting asked every single week what they were going to do against this defensive line. And they took it as a challenge. And they responded. And we told them early in the week, I said, if y'all play great, we'll win this football game. And they did.
He's 100% right. And last week, for 2 weeks ago, for the NFC title game, I remember asking a few Eagles players after the game, all you heard, like on the defense side of the ball, all you heard about was the 49ers defense going into this game and how great the 49ers defense is. People weren't talking about, right, the Eagles defense. And Brandon Graham even said, yeah, that motivated them. They took that personally. Now, I know the 49ers defense is going up against the Eagles defense, but just in the game where it was 49ers up against the Eagles. In this one, all week long, if you're a Chiefs offensive lineman, you hear two things. And I know it's a different group, but the last time the Chiefs were in the Super Bowl, they lost because they had no offense alignment. And then it's also, okay, Philadelphia, 70 sacks. Their pass rush is going to be the reason they win the game. And they didn't even sack Mahomes one time. Naturally, like I don't think you need extra motivation for a Super Bowl, Hickey. But naturally, when you get asked something so many times, it does annoy you a little bit. And it does put you on high alert where you go, okay, yeah, that does actually grind my gears and I want to prove people wrong. Because all we're hearing about them and not us.
Especially when it's a two-week buildup compared to the normal week. So a normal week is long enough, right? When you hear about the other team, how great they are. 2 weeks? Yeah, that's a lot.
So I know there's a lot of people in our industry that don't get sent to Radio Row and then they bitch about Radio Row. And they write about it on these like websites and everything. I actually like the way that our industry does the Super Bowl. Like the 2 weeks. Because I feel like, or at least the way that we do it. We spend that bye week pretty much doing a lot of the preview. And when you get to the Super Bowl, there's so many guests that you have on that, like, for example, we have Aiden Hutchinson on. I'm not going to sit there and talk 15 minutes to Aiden Hutchinson about the Chiefs and the Eagles. Like, awesome, a question here or there, like common opponents, thing like that. But it's really a recap of the season, and you go into a team like the Lions, especially, I know it's different for local radio, but we're national radio. And I think the way that we kind of did it the last 2 weeks, where you're mixing things in about the game, but when you have 2 weeks, and I always feel like the 2 weeks is unnecessary, after 1 week, there's really nothing much else you could really say about the game. So if we didn't go to the Super Bowl, it's important to be on the scene. You know, you don't get to, for a national show, talk to some of those other players that are there that weren't in the game, but do play a big role in the entirety of the look back of what the season was.
Yeah, it'll be a boring 2 weeks of breaking down the same storylines, the same matchups for 14 days. Yeah,
I actually wish, and I know why they don't do it, but I wish you go right from the conference championship game to then the next week being the Super Bowl. I would prefer that instead of the entire week off. until you get to Super Bowl Sunday the weekend after that.
I just hope we don't expand to 3 weeks. I mean, at this point, with the NFL stretching out, 18 games, 3 weeks between the conference championship games and the Super Bowl. Please, 2 weeks is long enough.
Yeah, don't do what they do from the conference championship games in or the conference in title games football. In college to the semifinals.
Have a month off.
Well, like, don't you think that plays a factor? I know that always there's not four great teams that get in. But don't you think that has a reason why sometimes those games get out of hand? Because 100%. You can't carry over momentum, and then you get a team like Michigan that does things uncharacteristically because you just have too much time to think about things.
You have 30-some days to play your best. Like, you're never used to that break. Now it's the biggest game of your life, and you got to play your best possible in a schedule. Now it's all wonky from what you've been used to the last 5 months. Yeah, it's awful. So I'm 100% with you.
What did Arians used to say? Analysis by paralysis?
Yes.
That's what it kind of is.
Yeah. But same, yeah.
Whichever order you want to go with on that one. All righty. Let's go to Patrick Mahomes from today on how he was able to play through the ankle pain.
Luckily, we were able to get in at halftime and get some new tape on there and some movement to try to get some mobility back. And then you just, I mean, you got, I think we talked about it with my offensive line. They protected me enough where I was able to sit in there and make the throws. So it was something that I was going to play through. I'm glad I get a little bit of rest on it now.
So Mahomes says it was just tape going back to that ankle injury. I still don't believe that. Mahomes says Jalen Hurts was incredible.
Yeah, I mean, if there was any doubters left, there shouldn't be now. I mean, the way he stepped up on this stage and ran through the ball, whatever it took for his team to win, I mean, that was a special performance that I don't want it to get lost in the loss that they had. I mean, even whenever we got all the momentum in that game and we went up 8 points in the fourth quarter, for him to respond and move his team right down the football field and run it in himself for the 2-point conversion, it was a special performance by him, man. And I mean, you make sure you appreciate that when you look back on this game.
I said this earlier, I'll say it again. Since 2004, I think the three best performances that I've ever seen in the NFL in a postseason, whether it's individual game or entire run, I know Hurts wasn't great in the first two games because he didn't need to be, but if you take the entirety of the Larry Fitzgerald postseason where they lost to the Steelers, you then take the T.O. performance up against the Pats in Super Bowl 39, and then this one, and I guess you could also argue in Brady threw for 505 yards and lost in a Super Bowl. Like, those are probably the four. Just off the top of the cabeza, Hickey, where I think guys that you thought should have had winning performances in Super Bowls, but then just didn't. And if you're Jalen Hurts today, especially with how much he's motivated that team and how he's the leader of that team, he doesn't want to hear how great he played. Like, it's nice of Mahomes to say, and Mahomes should say that because it's 100% truthful that no one should doubt Jalen Hurts right now. But if you're Jalen Hurts, you look back and you probably just go, who would have thought I would have ran for 70 yards and put up three touchdowns in a Super Bowl on the ground and then throw for 300 in the air and get a passing touchdown, and also our team put up 35 points and you lose?
It's only makes the, again, loss worse when you can say your quarterback outplayed Patrick Mahomes, which is rare to say in general. Happened yesterday, and to still lose is tough.
And I learned that with my Mets. When the Mets got to the World Series against the Royals, it was so unexpected before the year started. Like, if you told me before that year the Mets would have got to the World Series, I would not have believed it. And then when they lost, they said, you know, it's a positive season, and they'll be back. You just never know when you're going to get back, especially in this sport. Where, like, look at a team like Jacksonville. Last year they were number one overall pick in the draft back-to-back years, and they were in the division around this year. You just never know what's going to happen truly year-to-year in the NFL. Andy Reid is asked if he's retiring, courtesy of the NFL Network.
Coach Reid, there's some reports out there that you might retire.
I think I'm going to hang around.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about right there. If you still love it, which clearly Andy Reid does, why would you retire? Because for years it was, you can't win the big game. Now you've won it twice. Like, let's say he coaches for another 5 years, maybe north of that. But I think bare minimum, he's going to coach another 5 years as long as everything's okay from a health standpoint. Got to think you're going to add on another championship or two, Hickey.
That's why I'm surprised this is, like, even a storyline. Like, I was like, he's just feels like a lifer where he's just going to coach until he can't.
Like, don't get me wrong. There's a lot of stress that goes with coaching, but it's not like he's a player where he's taking a beating. It's like it's Aaron Donald, right?
Right.
Let's go to Terry Bradshaw. Just listen up to this on Fox. Waddle over, Andy.
Let me get the big guy in here. Come on, waddle over here. I know that you're getting up in years now like me, and I just know that it's got to be a time. You got to say to yourself, time to ride off into the sunset. That's not going to happen, is it?
No, no. I'm going to enjoy this one right here. I'm going to tell you, this is unbelievable.
Have a cheeseburger on us and enjoy the Hawaiian shirts.
I will.
I love Terry Bradshaw. I said this after the NFC title game where people were just giving him some blowback for the trophy presentation. I think he's wonderful. Because that's one of one. You only get that from Terry Bradshaw. Hey, Andy, waddle it over here. And it's not like he meant it in a malicious way, but you know how it is on Twitter, Hickey. People start freaking out and go, oh, it's so offensive. He's telling the big guy to waddle over. Give me a break.
I'm not a fan of Terry Bradshaw.
Good.
Doing these ceremonies.
I'm not a fan of your take of Terry Bradshaw. It's a horrible take. Guy's wonderful. He's funny. Instead, you get some boring broadcaster out there. Andy, how does it feel to win another championship? At least he says, hey, big fella, waddle over here. All right, tell me how it feels. It's a little more entertaining than just your typical boring broadcaster. All righty. Nick Sirianni was being nice. He says the flag on James Bradberry wasn't the reason why the Eagles lost the game.
I know it always appears to be that, you know, it's one call that makes it. It's not what it is, right? It's not what it is. There's so many plays that contribute to the end result of the game. And and today, they were better than we were.
James Bradberry says the refs got the penalty right.
I mean, that's not up for my judgment. You know, I was hoping he would let it go. But, of course, you know, he's a ref. It's a big game. And it was a hold. So they called it.
I look back at that. And it's not the sole reason why they lost the game. Eagles' defense was horrible. Eagles couldn't run the ball. Mahomes was Mahomes, right? Their run game was really good. Andy Reid coached circles around Sirianni in the second half. But in that moment, you just want some consistency. And that was not being called. And there was worse holdings that happened in that game that weren't being called. And they called that when it was very incidental. And I didn't think egregious. I thought, it's not just, oh, it's the final 2 minutes of a Super Bowl. But I just thought that was the wrong decision to throw the flag in there with the way that it was being called or wasn't being called in the first 58 minutes of the game. And finally, Jason Kelce says he's very happy for his brother in winning another Super Bowl.
You know, really, really happy for Trav. You know, played his ass off. That team deserves everything they had coming to them. They've earned it. Got a lot of respect for everybody in that organization. There's a lot of people in that organization that gave me my start in this league, including the head coach, Andy Reid. So, obviously, would have liked to win, but, you know, happy for Trav, for sure. Going to be an awkward podcast. But.
Like, what else are you going to say? That's your brother. Yeah, you'd rather have won, but, you know, I'm not saying you're happy to lose, obviously, but your brother gets a great moment like that, his second ring, and what that means for him. And here's what I wonder. Is that Kelce's final game? Because I don't know if you saw this, Hickey. After the game, maybe he's just waving to family that weren't allowed on the field, and I don't know the whole process and everything and how many passes you get and what the protocol is. But when he was waving off that field, I'm not saying he's definitely retiring, but I think it's on his mind.
Very emotional after the game with his mom, which, look, I get it. You just lost a Super Bowl,
yeah.
But maybe that was, you know, part
that's
losing.
That's different, though. She was on the field. That's an interpersonal
right.
embrace.
But also maybe it's knowing, hey, this was the final time walking on the field. I don't know. We'll see.
And he's played since 2011. He's won a ring. He's a Hall of Famer. He's a five-time first-team All-Pro. He's 35. It's like, how much longer? He still plays at an elite level. We all know that. First-team All-Pro this year. You just wonder how much longer he's going to play. If I had to say now, just a guess, I would think there's like a 70-30 percentage in terms that in a chance that he does retire compared to coming on back and playing next year. That just last night, I know it's emotional, and that's why I'm going to say 30% that he doesn't. But that did look like someone that was walking off the field for the final time. But then yet again, remember the take that you had about Brady when he's walking off the field a few weeks ago? You're like, he'll be back. Doesn't look like a guy that's walking off the field for the last time, and then he retires, so... Maybe sometimes we put too much stock in this stuff. Bob Fesco joins us next.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. Bob Fesco's going to waddle on over here. If I was Terry Bradshaw, that's how I would introduce every guest this week from Kansas City. As I thought that was a great moment after the game. But Bob does a tremendous job hosting mornings on 610 Sports in Kansas City. And the Chiefs are once again world champions. So, Bob, how are you?
Yeah, you know, 60 pounds ago, Zach, I probably would waddle on over there to you. But I'm a little bit spryer now in my older age. Things couldn't be better, my friend. I mean, it's just, you know, just to kind of think about where we are with this whole thing with Patrick Mahomes and with this organization. And, you know, we're 5 years in and already have two championships. I mean, you got to pinch a lot of people around here who a decade ago are looking at Kansas City as the worst organization in the NFL. And 10 years later, it's the premier spot to be.
And to be clear, Bob, I was not fat shaming you, as I'll probably get accused of that. You are in very good shape. I was even saying to Hickey before the show, before you called in, you know, Bob Fesco's in really good shape.
Yeah. But you know what? In college, I was about 300 pounds. And, you know, here I am. And I'm getting ready to turn 46 in April. I may be at my lowest weight of the last decade or so. So, yeah, I'm feeling pretty good. You know, but it was so funny to see Terry Bradshaw say that. Like, he's said some wild things lately, hasn't he?
I love it. I think it's entertaining because you usually get some boring drip up there that just go,
right,
hey, how does it feel to win a championship?
Or you get Jim Nance up there who makes it all about himself, you know?
Well, we're CBS Sports Radio, so let me just say that we love Jim Nance here, and Jim's been very benevolent to me in my career, and the views of Bob Fesco do not reflect the views of the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio, and I vehemently disagree with everything Bob just said in the last 15 seconds. Anyway, Bob, let me start you off with Mahomes. So it's weird because he was wonderful in the game, but then I look at the passing yard numbers and I go, if you would have told me before the game that Mahomes would only have 180-something passing yards, I probably would have said to you, how many points did the Chiefs lose by?
Yeah, and I think you're right about that because there were some, you know, early bets, you know, some of those bonus bets they flip you every once in a while. Patrick Mahomes over 225 yards in the Chiefs win. You're like, well, that's a no-brainer. I mean, I'm going to take that one every day of the week because you think the Chiefs are going to win if you're, you know, obviously a fan of the Chiefs as an organization. And Patrick Mahomes, he gets 225 yards in the first drive of every game. So I'm looking at it and I'm going, man, this is a situation where I feel great about Patrick Mahomes putting up some big numbers, but he didn't yesterday. And I guess didn't have to yesterday because you get a big punt return from Kadarius Toney. You get a great defensive score from Bolton. And all of a sudden you're like, that's plus 14 right there where Patrick Mahomes doesn't really have to go to work.
I know that this wasn't the most passing touchdowns he's thrown in a season. It is the most yards. To me, I think this is the most impressive year, Bob, of his career just because of what he lost in Tyreek Hill and how many people tried to knock Kansas City off the perch just inside the AFC to not only see them in the Super Bowl but then to win it and come from behind, which we were just so used to without Tyreek Hill. That's as good as it gets with Mahomes.
No doubt, and I think this is the best Chiefs team we've ever seen from 1 to 53 on the roster, too. I mean, you can go back to those 60s teams that severely underachieved and should have won more Super Bowls than they did, and fast forward to where we are now, and I'm looking at this Chiefs team, and I'm thinking to myself, man, this organization is right now prime to keep this thing going. And you know, I felt like a scorned father almost for the last year of defending this organization and saying they're going to be just fine without Tyreek Hill. Because that's what great quarterbacks do. They elevate everybody around them. And I know we've really only seen in this era of football, I guess, Tom Brady do that, where he's elevated every guy around him. But that's where Patrick Mahomes is. That's why he makes $50 million a year, and he's going to go out there and figure it out. And he started it off back in the spring with what they were calling pack camps, where all the wide receivers and pass catchers would go down to Texas, and they'd all work out. And Andy even mentioned it last night. He goes, yeah, it really started when Pat had those guys together, you know, down in Texas when the coaches couldn't get involved. And so they got to it right away. And I think now if you're coming to Kansas City and you're going to play with Patrick Mahomes, you're going to put in the work and you're going to be as valuable as you possibly can.
Bob Fesco here with us. The second half, if there was the most valuable person in the game and not player, I thought Andy Reid then would have won the MVP because he coached circles around Nick Sirianni, who did a remarkable job this year.
Well, it was remarkable to watch Andy Reid go to work. And I said this morning on my show, give Andy Reid 29 minutes at halftime with a Rihanna concert mixed in, and that's basically another bye week. And so Andy Reid had the opportunity to kind of go to work, and he does great when he has time and when he has an opportunity to put things in place. And it's kind of funny, we're going to talk about this tomorrow on our show, a little sneak peek, if you will, Zach. Andy Reid, you know, the two touchdowns that they scored, the one to Kadarius Toney and the other to Sky Moore, he ripped those off from Doug Peterson.
Yeah.
The Jags ran those plays earlier this year against the Philadelphia Eagles. And I mean, right then and there, that's that's insane coaching, right? I mean, like, he's going back to every game that's been played against the Eagles and saw from each game what worked, and then saw an offense that's basically his being run in Jacksonville score very easily on that Eagles defense, and they did it not once but twice in that game to each side of the field to Philadelphia.
If Kadarius Toney went five more yards on that punt return, and he only made two plays in the game, but they were huge plays, would he have won the MVP last night?
That's funny because Damian Williams, we all thought should have won it a couple of years ago when they beat San Francisco in the Super Bowl. You know, when he scored that final touchdown, he was great in the postseason that year for Kansas City, and we thought he should have won MVP. But, of course, you're going to give it to Patrick Mahomes. And I just think in a spot like that, Patrick Mahomes is always going to get the benefit of the doubt. Even though Jalen Hurts was the best player on the field and it wasn't even close. I mean, he was amazing. Saved the fumble. I mean, he was outstanding in yesterday's game. Philadelphia wins. He gets the MVP going away. But I still think you probably end up giving it to Patrick Mahomes. What if Bolton gets two scoop and scores? Then he's the MVP.
He would have won it. If that second one, I thought it was the right call to reverse it. And just being in the stadium, I saw Chiefs fans were celebrating. They're like, oh, this is going to come back. But if he would have got two touchdowns, he would have won MVP.
Yeah, no question about it. Yeah, and I thought, just so you know, I thought the refs were marvelous yesterday. I had no issue at all with the officiating in this game.
Well, we were going to get to that in a second. Now, you should be fine with the way the officiating did go down. All I ask for is consistency. And I'm not a believer in saying, oh, you can't call it in that spot. If it's a penalty, it's a penalty. But I thought with the way that it was going to the first 58 minutes, I thought it was a bad call on that hold.
Well, and you know, I think we could argue it if Bradbury didn't come out after the game and go, yeah, I held him. I just hoping they weren't going to call it. I think once he said that, we all have to move on. And I know Philadelphia fans are kind of bent about this one because they were, you know, I was listening to, you know, our sister station WIP this afternoon just to kind of hear what Philadelphia was talking about. And one guy's like, we were at the party all year long, and then, like, it just ended and everybody left and we were, like, stuck with the bill. I'm like, yeah, that's kind of the way it was, you know. For Philadelphia fans, they thought they were going to win this thing, and I know they're upset about that penalty because it stands out and it's something you can grab onto and everybody can unite over it, but they gave up 7 points on a Bolton scoop and score and essentially 14 points on that Kadarius Toney punt return, which ended up being the longest punt return in the history of the Super Bowl down to the 5-yard line, that 65-yard return. So when you do stuff like that, I have a hard time going up. That Bradbury penalty ultimately, you know, cost them the game. Don't turn the ball over and don't allow Kadarius Toney to take one almost back to the house. And, you know, Philadelphia all year long was complaining about their punting situation. And, boy, it seems like when you got something that really doesn't work right and you play in the Super Bowl, it gets exposed.
If they didn't call the hold, Hurts going to get the ball back with a little under 2 minutes left. Are we talking about the Chiefs still being world champions today?
Yeah, I think so, because I'm never going to get bet against Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid. Those two guys together are better than anything that this league has to offer. And that's why I was going into this game all last week, though. And I understand what people are saying about Philadelphia and why people think Philadelphia is good. I get all that. But, boy, Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes are infinitely better than Nick Sirianni and Jalen Hurts. And they're really infinitely better than most quarterback-head coach combinations in this league. And I just couldn't get myself to really start believing in Philadelphia until somebody proved to me that Hurts-Sirianni combo is better than Reid and Mahomes, and it's just not.
And Hurts lived up to it last night, but Sirianni that second half, I was surprised with how much success they had throwing the ball down the field. Even when there was incompletions, the plays were there. I was surprised that it took them that long to go back to that approach in the second half, which led to a score for them when Devontae Smith caught the ball and then fell out of bounds.
Yeah, you know, and they had it rolling there early, and it kind of reminded me of the Houston playoff game a couple of years ago where the Chiefs were down 24 points for all intents and purposes, you know, knocked in the face early. But there was a big play in that game where we saw, I think it was Bill O'Brien, the coach at the time, they kicked a field goal to go up 24-0 instead of going for a short fourth down conversion, that if you get it, you continue the drive and you're already inside Chiefs territory. And instead of getting three, you get seven, and then all of a sudden it's a 28-0 lead. I think we saw that with Sirianni. They were up, what, six, you know, in the third or fourth quarter, whatever it was, and it was like a 4th-and-2 on his own 30. You've been aggressive all night long. You've got to go for the kill shot. And when teams allow Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes to kind of hang around, bad things happen for those teams. It's almost like playing a prevent type of offense or playing a prevent type of game. You gave Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid an opportunity. You should have delivered the knockout in the third round, but here we are in the 10th round, and they're still standing, and you know they're going to beat your butt.
You're 100% right. Bob Fesco here with us. From an Eagles perspective, the thing that surprised me, the two things that surprised me the most, one, that defense that had 70 sacks in the regular season did not take Mahomes down once. And the other part, outside of Hurts, they could not run the football last night.
No, I know. It was crazy. I thought the Chiefs' defensive line did a really nice job against the rush. And you know, the Chiefs really didn't get any sacks either. I mean, you look at the stat thing, and you got Leo Chenal, a rookie. He's credited with a sack, but that was like a Hurts minus 1 yard type of run. The defensive lines that were the two, I guess you could say, best in the NFL, you know, the Eagles were number one in sacks going into this game. The Chiefs were number two in the NFL in sacks going into this game. For all intents and purposes, there were zero sacks in that football game.
If I had to put the over-under right now at 5 Lombardi trophies for Mahomes, you take the over?
He's got 2, right? Yeah, I'm going to take the over. There's something about Patrick Mahomes that when he puts his mind to it and says he's going to do it, he goes and does it. And he wants Tom Brady's record, man. He's gunning for it. I think he's probably going to end up getting it.
So you think he's going to end up winning 8?
Yeah, I think so. I don't think he's going to leave until he gets the 8.
How much longer, and I know after the game or before the game this is being talked about with Andy Reid, I never thought for a second there was a chance, regardless of the outcome last night, that Andy Reid was going to retire. Like, I'm thinking at least Reid's going, as long as the health is there, bare minimum 5 more years, right?
Well, you know, it's funny. Before this Mahomes thing started, you know, like his rookie year, if you talk to people, they said that maybe 3 or 4 more years. Oh, here's Patrick Mahomes. Why is he going anywhere? I mean, he's only 64 years old.
Yeah.
Bill Belichick's approaching 70. Why aren't we trying to push him out the door?
And the other thing about that, Bob, too, is for 20 years it was Andy Reid can't win a big game. Now you have 2 rings. I'm not walking away from that.
Oh, heck no. You get that 3rd Super Bowl. I mean, we talk about how important getting the 2nd list for Andy Reid. You get that 3rd Super Bowl, and now people outside of Kansas City are talking about how great you are. And so you've got this once-in-a-generation, maybe once-in-a-ever quarterback right now. If you're Andy Reid, I'm not going anywhere. I'm kicking back, and I'm letting this thing play out as long as I can.
What's the deal with Bieniemy? Will he be back as the OC next year? I know he's interviewing.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think it's time for Eric Bieniemy to go somewhere else and do his thing without Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, because no matter what he does here, people are always going to look at it and go, well, yeah, Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid. So if he goes and, you know, coaches somewhere else and has the success like he's seeing here from an offensive standpoint, I think that's a better opportunity for him to turn that into a head coaching job where people will actually believe, hey, Eric Bieniemy's doing this. It's not just Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid.
By the way, before we let you run, Bob, what was it like hosting today?
Fun. It was a blast today, man. It was so much fun being on the air and celebrating with fans, because for so long in this town, we didn't win anything. And now we're winning Super Bowls, and my whole approach is each one needs to be treated like it's your first and it will be your last. And you've got to love it up and enjoy every minute of it, because you don't know when it's going to be gone. It could be gone just like that. You know, something could happen tomorrow where it's all gone. You just don't know. So you have to enjoy every single one of them. And I think the fans are starting to understand that. Nobody's taking this stuff for granted. And I think Wednesday is going to be just an insane day at the parade.
Well, enjoy life in the penthouse. It's always fun when you're up on the top floor and you get to just polish all those trophies year after year after year. Bob Fesco, appreciate the time.
Anytime, Zach, man. Appreciate it.
You got it. There's Bob Fesco joining us. We will take a time out and we will come on back and we'll get more into this reaction about the holding that was called to the game last night and more Super Bowl 57 recap.
Betting 101, increasing one's bankroll. Take $200, deposit it at BetUS. Watch it grow to $450. Now that is science. Sign up today at BetUS.com or call 1-800-79-BETUS. Be like me, bet for free.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. So I want to just touch on one thing that Bob Fesco said. First off, let me tell you that you can think of Riley Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. I guess I'll ask it to you this way. Not just straight up. 6.5 over under championships for Mahomes. You take the over, you take the under, Hickey?
I mean, right now, honestly, not trying to be caught up in the moment, I take the over.
Yeah, I would still go under. Here's the thing. As great as Mahomes is, and Mahomes, he has been the only, I know this is weird to say because it's still so fresh, but he's probably been the quarterback I've had the most respect for. Not probably, he is the quarterback I have the most respect for in the last 10 years that is not named Tom Brady. And he hasn't even played 10 years. But you look at the one thing that concerns me about Mahomes, I know he just won a Super Bowl on one leg. I just wonder how many years Mahomes plays. Like, that's the thing to me where you've seen a few injuries occur throughout the years. I just wonder how long he's going to be able to play in the NFL if he continues to have an ankle, have a knee. What was it? That was the year they won the Super Bowl, I'm pretty sure.
Dislocated kneecap against the Broncos.
And he missed like 2 weeks, I want to say, if memory serves me right. Because I remember I was working at NFL radio at the time. We were on the air while that happened. And I thought he was done for the season. And right when you, even though it's in a playoff game, when you saw that injury in the divisional round, and then he continued to limp around the field and then left the game, I thought for a second his season was over. Like last night, I did not think he was going to get taken out of the game. But that's my only pause is when you look at seven championships, and also remember, Brady was in 10. And things did go his way in a few of them. And then there's some Super Bowls where things didn't go his way. Now, when you play that game, that's like a very dangerous game. And you heard Howard Eskin do it a few hours ago. And you kind of only want to acknowledge, oh, we're going to take away. But then you're not going to add on things like that. But you need so much to go right to win a championship. Seven's such a crazy number. Like, we used to think four. No one was ever going to pass four. And Brady blew that out of the water. To get to seven, man. Like, I'm not saying he's not going to get close, but if right now I had to put a number on it, I'd probably say five or six. Like, it gets close, but to get to seven, I just pause a little bit. Even though they protect the quarterback more, the thing about Brady that made Brady so great, obviously, is how he was able to dominate a salary cap era, right? A free agency, when you have so many guys that leave and they never brought in these great other guys. You know, I know they drafted Gronk, they did sign Randy Moss, they won a championship with Randy Moss, and he was still able to win. But you look at the sport now and you just see the mobility of the quarterback. It's just not conducive to a quarterback, really, even though they're protecting the quarterback more to play 20 years. And there's, like, look at Mahomes a few years ago, right? He loses in the Super Bowl. His offensive line was non-existent in that game because he had both tackles out. You just need so many things to go right to win that many championships. I know it's easy in the moment. Yeah, he's so great, and I'm not taking anything away from Mahomes. He's at two. And that's incredible already, first 5 years in a career. For me to think that he's going to win six more to get to eight, I'm not ready to go there yet. But if he goes, rips off, like, let's say, one next year and goes back to back and then he's at three, then it turns into a different conversation. I guess how early the next two, assuming he wins two more, and I think he will, how early they come is really going to dictate, I think, the come around on how many people believe he'll get to seven if you do so.
I mean, I think how he just won this year, I think, shows the reason and the belief, even though, again, you're five from tying six away, so it's still a very, very long way to go. But it's like you talk about a Sarah Cabrera. We just saw the Chiefs trade away a top three wide receiver and him win a Super Bowl on one leg. So it's like there's no reason to think that going forward here is going to drop off anytime soon. The injuries so far have been, I'm not going to call them freak, but it's not like his style of play is conducive to him getting hurt. He's not Lamar Jackson. He's got it just hitting the pocket. Sometimes that does hurt. You know, that just happens. We saw Tom Brady tear an ACL.
He only missed one season, though, for Brady. And other than that, he really didn't get injured at all.
Right, but Patrick Mahomes has missed, what, like five games? So, you know, sure, there's some injuries, but he's also playing through them, no problem. It's not like he's injury prone, or the fact that he can even stay on the field. So this is a guy that, again, so far at his age, what he's accomplishing in his short time so far as an NFL starter, no reason to think, especially as long as Andy Reid is head coach, maybe that will change. If you it's going to be hard to go from Andy Reid to as good
whoever's
the head
next
coach whenever he retires. So maybe there'll be a little bit of a drop off there where Tom Brady obviously never had that. But again, if Reid's there at least five more years, try to run. No reason why he can't at least win two more.
Yeah, we'll see. Just to go to 7 right now, it's way too prematurely for me to have any conviction that he's going to get to 7. He's great. He's wonderful. He's phenomenal. He's a video game. He's a cheat code. Like, I'm not taking anything away from that, but I just think that's too in the moment right now and a little bit too early to say, oh, he's definitely going to get to 7 and he's definitely going to get to 8, you know, just when you hear some people say that today, because for yes, it went right for him for this year, and he was wonderful this year. The last 2 years, you know, it shows you how tough it is to win, even when you have a team that is always in that conversation of being, what, the best four teams probably in the NFL? Because even the 2 years he lost it, he was in the Super Bowl. He was in an AFC title game as well. It's just, it's so tough to win. How many teams pop up out of nowhere, too? And the other part about this, and I know he won this year without Tyreek Hill, and look how many different weapons they had this year. I'd be curious what happens when Kelce walks away. Like, is there any doubt in Mahomes? Absolutely not. But it's just how they retool in probably life without Andy Reid and Kelce. You're probably right there, Hickey. That's going to define how close they get. But a guy like Patrick Mahomes, I believe, can win. You can take a team far, like how Brady took a team far with Rishay Caldwell and then also with Doug Gabriel. Take a timeout. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. When we return, do a little no-huddle offense. Final rendition for this year of a little no-huddle offense before we put it on the back shelf, and then we'll dust it off once again in September of 2023. I miss football already.